Thanks. Welcome everybody to the third quarterly meeting of the WKU Board of Regents. I'm happy to have all of you here and it's a beautiful day. So we will start with the roll call.
Regent Bell.
Present.
Regent Prati.
Present.
Regent Dennison.
Here.
Regent Hammonds.
Present.
Regent Hill.
Here.
Chair Milton's not here, of course. Regent Nichols.
Present.
Regent Speller.
Present.
Secretary Thomas.
Here.
Vice Chair West.
Present.
Regent Turks.
Present.
Okay, we have. We are missing Perry.
So we have.
Thank you, Regent Thomas. And we have the pleasure of welcoming two new members of the Board of Regents, Jennifer Heeman and Derek Helm. And we are going to administer the oath of office. If you all will step up front here. Y'all can just kind of stand right there. And then raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the Commonwealth and be faithful and true to the Commonwealth of Kentucky so long as you continue a citizen thereof, and that you will faithfully execute to the best of your ability the office of member of the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University according to law? And do you further solemnly swear that since the adoption of the present Constitution, you being a citizen of the state, have not fought a duel with deadly weapons within the state, nor out of it, nor have you sent or accepted a challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons, nor have you acted as second in carrying a challenge, nor aided or assisted any person thus offending? So help you God. Very good. Welcome. And I'm going to, we have these beautiful pins.
That's
changes, comments. All right, I will ask for a motion to approve the minutes of the May 2nd, 2024 second quarterly meeting.
Make a motion.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, then we have the approval of the minutes for the special budget approval meeting that was on June 7th of 2024. Did anybody have any changes to those minutes? Okay, can I get a motion to approve the budget minutes? Okay. Get a second?
Second.
All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, so minutes are approved from both meetings. First on our agenda today, we have academic affairs.
All right, we have a couple of listed
action items, and we have one more that we will add to it, as was discussed a bit at our retreat yesterday, and I want to thank everyone for their attendance at yesterday's retreat and the discussions we had, which I thought were worthwhile and good. We have our provost with us today, and Provost Fisher, I will ask you to present our item.
Sure. The first item is approval of academic program suspension for the program Masters of Arts in Teaching in Middle Grades Education for initial certification. The logic behind that is that we have put a new program in that takes its place, and there's no reason to have duplicate programs.
Any questions?
What is the new program? What is the new program?
Great question. If I can read today, I left my glasses at home. The MAT in Teaching Education for Initial Certification has taken the place of that. So just a different program with a few different curricular changes in it.
Any other questions, comments? If not, I'll ask for a motion for approval of action item AA1. Motion from Regent Thomas. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Regent Spiller, thank you. Again, any further discussion, comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, likewise. Okay. That item is approved. Our next action item, these are always special occasions and made more special when the person is in attendance, and I'll ask Provost Fisher to introduce my friend and someone that's well known across the university and well deserving of this honor.
We were looking for approval of emeritus status for Dr. Harold Little. Dr. Little is with us today, and he served WKU for 25 years. When I talked to people, the two words that came to that I got all the time was effective leader and outstanding teacher. So those are two words I hope somebody says about me someday when I retire. The other thing you see is that he was an advocate, was the third word that I heard all the time, and it was really for DEI situations, and both in the community and on campus. And I'd love to have him say a few words.
And it'll be just a few words. I'm glad I didn't have to take any thing about saying anything about dueling, because Dr. Sales and I always I also like to thank Dr. Thatcher, Shane, and the accounting department, and also the university for just a wonderful experience. This is my second career, and it has been outstanding. One of the things I do like to say that would like to advocate for the university growing its own PhD faculty, because I think that's really needed. It's very difficult to bring people in, and I can say that as department chair because we are in a unique position, and so it would certainly help Dr. Thatcher for us to grow our own and for the board to get behind that. I also like to say one other additional thing. I'd like to thank Dr. Katz and Dr. Hall, who are emeritus, because it was under their leadership that I was able have a very successful career here at Western. I thank you all for this honor, and I hope that all have a wonderful day. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I know I spoke at the previous meeting about Dr. Little, so just to reiterate that as someone who worked with him in the professional MBA program, where we had the professionals from the community who came in to further their education, and these were people who were, they were doctors, they were lawyers, and there were others. Meeting with them on Saturday mornings, and they universally loved the class with him. It was something they consistently talked about. But I'd also like to share another story. At the end of his career, I remember getting in the elevator with him one day, and he had agreed to be department chair. And the amount of arm twisting it takes sometimes to get a faculty member who's good at their job to step into that role. Well, there was no one else to do it at that time. He led the department through the successful reaccreditation of the accounting department, and it was not something he wanted to do. And I know his family didn't want him to do, but yet he took one for the team and stepped up and was a great leader in that role as well. So certainly in our college, we missed him since he left.
Any other comments? Well, I've known Dr. Little for a while as well, and it's nice that Dr. Katz, who was honored at our last meeting, and you are setting standards in the business school, Evelyn. High standards to be maintained. But when I think of Dr. Little, I think of why Western is different from a lot of other places. He was always student focused, and he's nice. And
that's why I said the quail.
It does. And so, very, very special day that we can honor you in this manner. So, with that, I will ask for a motion.
So moved.
Regent Spiller.
Second.
Here a second.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, like sign. Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.
Dr. Bell, if I could just say, too, first of all, thank you for your comments, but I would not be where I am right now if it were not for people like Carol. We were not in the same department. We were three floors apart, but he was a mentor to me from the day I stepped on campus, and he continues to be. So thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. Mr. Provost, I think you have one other item.
Well, we have an add-on item that was left from yesterday, which was I would love to ask for the approval of the mission statement for the university.
This was discussed informally.
Yes.
At our retreat yesterday.
And it's required by SACS and the board bylaws.
And just for anyone in the audience to know, SACS is the accrediting body, and we have to be accredited every 10 years, and our number is up this next year, and so this is a necessary hoop to jump through, as there will be others over the next 12 months or so. So, any questions, discussion, comments? If not, I will entertain a motion for approval of our mission statement as currently distributed in all of our information about Western Kentucky University.
I move that we approve our mission
statement. Regent Dennison, thank you. Do I hear a second? Regent Thomas, any further discussion, comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passed.
Great.
We have one other item on our agenda today, and I believe we have some faculty members here today for a presentation. And Provost?
Yep, we have two faculty members here today to show you the type of research that they're doing. It would be Dr. Ellen Casale and Dr. Stacy Liggett. They will be talking to you today about, I guess I should tell you where they're from. Dr. Casale is an assistant professor duly appointed in the School of Leadership and Professional Studies in Teacher Education. Dr. Stacy Liggett is an associate professor and program coordinator of the Education Administration Program in the School of Leadership and Professional Studies. The title of their talk today is up there on the board. Training Aspiring Principals to Navigate the Manifestation Determination Review, a Mixed Methods Model. I don't know what that is, so I can't wait to see what it is today. And with that, I'd love for you to please come up.
I am Ellen Casale.
And I'm Stacy Leggett. So the work we're going to share with you is part of a second study that we've done out of two grants that we received. We received a many grants, a $7,000 grant from the Kentucky Excellence in Educator Preparation from the Cedar Center, and we received an internal grant from CITL. It was an innovative teaching grant, and that was able to help us to fund some curricular revisions across several courses in our program.
And to give you just a bit of context very quickly about the importance of this work and our problem of practice is targeting in-service principals and those to be serving as principals. So our programs, right now we have students that are already serving in the principal capacity. And the standards that are out there require that principals are trained in equity, that they are equitable leaders for inclusion and overseeing a safe and orderly environment. And this overlaps for students with disabilities in a very specific way. So students with disabilities historically have been discriminated against within public schools and removed, and there's plenty of case law and federal law outlining that disproportionately so. There is a federal act that has specific procedural and substantive safeguards in place to protect that student population. And the manifestation determination review process was put in place by those federal acts and amendments to those. Most principals come from a general education background, meaning that they don't have a certification in special education, and therefore most of their previous training may have only included one class in special education, usually at the undergraduate level. And most principal preparation programs, with the exception of WKU, don't explicitly address special education content in their training. Few states require direct training in special education if you look at the state regulations. And so this gives context to the importance of this specific work.
So a little bit about our research design. This was a self-study. We were studying our own program and our own work. We looked at pre- and post-assessment and did a comparative content analysis, which is a type of discourse analysis. And we used mixed methods. It was exploratory. For us to understand using quantitative and qualitative approaches. And here are two research questions, and they're really about what pathway do students choose? And the second question is about, so what shifts in learning did we see as a result of these changes? For participants, these were students who were enrolled in our ED8597. So they are principal preparation students across two semesters, and we had 99 students who consented to participate in the work.
And to give a little bit of context about the uniqueness of this particular project and why we wanted to highlight it for you, so it's very hard to contrive actual situations for principals in a training program. In addition to that, students with disabilities are protected by FERPA, and so you can't go in and record without extensive consents and things of that nature. And so therefore we created a simulation and training component as part of our course. And so we did use Qualtrics, the WKU Qualtrics, to create a simulation path. And so students completed the simulation path, which I'll show you in just a couple of slides. And then we had embedded content within the course that walks them through the legal requirements around disciplining students with disabilities. And so they would take the simulation, intervention, they would receive the content through a forced training pathway. And the interesting part about the simulation, the data we are showing you today are going to capture our analysis of question 11. We just presented this last week in San Antonio at an international conference. But we created a simulation pathway in order to allow the principal candidates to experience what it might be like and how they might interact with their teachers and the information that they receive. So there was a presenting concern within the simulation pathway on Qualtrics. There was audio recordings. There was student data that were presented. There was a disciplinary issue that came up with a student with disability to provide the context. And then the way that we collected data is we captured the principal candidate's decisions at different points. So it's very complicated to do on the online platform, but we were able to get it done. And so the data we are showing you today is an analysis of one of those questions that the participants answered. And we completed both quantitative and qualitative analysis, and we'll present quantitative first.
So one type of quantitative analysis we use in an Excel spreadsheet where we have their responses, we did the word count. You can see the formula we used to count the number of words that they used in responding. Our hypothesis was that on the post-assessment, they would use more words, that they would elaborate more. And use of academic vocabulary, this is an example of how we search for one term, behavior manifestation, but you'll see some other terms that we searched for. So the word count, surprisingly, was almost the same, the mean word count on the pre and the post assessment. But the standard deviation was much different. So we went from 25 to 34, so a 36% increase in the standard deviation. So they wrote about the same mean, but some wrote shorter and some wrote much longer. For academic vocabulary, you can see the words, the academic vocabulary that we searched for across the top. And you can see our biggest increase in this initial question was an additional 37% of students asked about IEP specifically. And there were also increases in students using the accommodation or behavior intervention plan. But there were decreases in supports, intervention, and modification.
And it is important to note as well, for a principal, they are part of a manifestation determination review team. So they are one voice within. And so as we discuss these findings, it is certainly important that we are seeing the types of words that they are saying and questions that they are asking, which feeds into our qualitative coding that we did as well. So we qualitatively analyzed their responses using a platform, Atlas TI. Example codes might be a behavior intervention plan if the student used or described behavior intervention plan, behavior plan, or BIP. Likewise, a code of historical incidents or background information is defined for you there. And what's interesting about the analysis of the codes, these would be the analysis of the highest ranking decreases from pre to post assessment. So what was interesting when we looked at their pre-assessment as they navigated the simulation, most principals asked general questions as you would for any disciplinary action. So what happened during the incident, what was the background to the student, how are they justifying the suspension incident? There were people that were asking about the diagnosis and disability of the student. There was more discussion about wanting to reschedule the meeting. Why do I need to be there? Because part of the simulation was this principal is not there and you need to attend. So in the beginning, there was more discussion around those things in terms of their responses to how they are going to interact in this meeting. Ooh. However, in post-test, what we see change is a complete change in terms of the types of qualitative things they were asking, which is a huge testament to the intervention components that we have in place that they navigated through. So there was more questions about whether the student had a behavior intervention plan, which is tied to federal mandate that we need to implement that. Communication with the IEP team. More questions about the description of the student behavior itself. Their individualized education plan, which is a federal requirement for students with identified disabilities, and functional behavior assessments. So we did see growth in terms of, so even though the mean didn't change, the words that they were using and the questions that they had for the team were closer in alignment with the federal requirements.
And so our conclusion, again, how did they navigate? So on the pre and the post-test, students gathered more information versus planning to attend the meeting or not. And again, they provided consistent means, but a larger variability for standard deviation. And on the pre, they asked more questions about the incident, reasons for attendance, suspension, justifications. But on the post, they asked questions about, more specific questions about student support and communication with the team.
So our next step is, of course, this is part of ongoing curricular changes. We've been seeking grant funding and are about to roll out our fourth class with additional external funding that we received this past spring that begins this fall to continue to train and increase capacity of future principals in special education. We're also going to analyze for demographic differences. We do have students with a special education background that are seeking the principalship and other ed admin certifications. And in our future rounds of data, this is ongoing data collection, we have added demographic questions to seek those answers. We also want to identify continued funding streams in order to upscale this work that we are doing. We are constantly looking for that. And we are seeing a shift in federal funding from the Office of Special Education Programs, where they are putting specific calls in for training administrators, so that's very promising. And finally, we want to enhance additional courses as part of our additional improvement efforts and work. And the citations, there are more slides for you than what we presented today for the sake of time, but we thank you for your time.
All right. Questions, comments?
Just a comment, two comments. Number one, thank you. Important work necessary for future educational leaders. But also, it dovetails nicely with our conversation yesterday around John Bransford and how people learn and pre-test, post-test, and all the things that we talked about yesterday morning. The second is, this is a great illustration of how internal investment in faculty and their inquiry positions us to go to the next step. And so would you talk a little bit about the other funding streams that you all are pursuing and what those possibly might be?
Oh, yes. So we were considering, just a couple weeks ago, I'm going to Dean Murphy. One example might be a state personnel development grant or a SPDIG through the Office of Special Education Program. KDE already has one currently, and so we weren't eligible to go after the call for the aspiring principals. We have gotten enough information from the types of calls that are present in terms of the Office of Special Education Programs that they will continue to put in grant goals and priorities around training principals. It's in the federal acts as well. I imagine because of the political shifts that happened during an election year, they haven't released them. Typically, they would have been released in April of this year. And so those personnel development grants are of the utmost importance, and that allows us to provide the training mechanisms. We did apply for a personnel development grant or personnel preparation grant this past year as well, and got great feedback to resubmit that if that call comes back up again. And then state level as well, we are continuing to do those through the CEDAR Center and technical assistance, but we are always looking.
Okay. And if I could comment on the state level, just really quickly. So one of the things that's really important about this work for the Commonwealth of Kentucky is there are two major everyday school problems that we have that this work addresses. Right, so we've got behavior occurring in the hallways, in the classrooms, that is constantly sending kids down to the principal's office or contributing to our absenteeism rate in the state, which continues to go up. So if you've been listening to things and conversations happening in Frankfurt, chronic absenteeism is a massive push for this year and the next couple of years within school systems. And so training principals in this special education and how to respond to behavior in those spaces and places is really critical for the Commonwealth success. So as we're working on these state grants, we're able to also engage our legislators in, here's the work that we're seeing here on campus, here's how we can push this out into a framework that affects the entire state and really helps principals within those schools, which also helps teacher retention. Because if you can reduce the behaviors and you can work through positive behavior support plan, teachers are more likely to be retained because they're ready for what's going on in the classroom. So it's very proud. Good job.
And so in a way, this saved us money because the simulation software can be $3,000 to $5,000 a year, and so Dr. Casale and I decided we could do it for free. And it's kind of like one of those books that I read when I was a kid, and you would get to a page and it would say, okay, if you choose this option, turn to this page. If you choose this option, so it's kind of a simulation like that. That's what it's a simulated pathway. But so we're saving $3,000 to $5,000 a year, and we're creating exactly what we want it to look like, and we can revise and improve it. And so that's what we were able to do with this grant.
I think that, so then the other thing that I want to connect this to is our goal of increasing both federal research funding and overall research capacity. Both the internal investment, but more importantly, the conversation that you just heard around federal funding streams and those calls. What we want is those conversations to happen in every academic unit around the dollars available, the work that's happening, and how do you connect those two. Again, that is a bit of a culture shift for us, but as we continue to mature in this area, you're going to have more and more of those conversations, more familiarity, and more work, certainly with more senior faculty, growing and mentoring junior faculty and how this works. And so I just want to connect all of those threads for the board.
Good. Any other comments?
I loved it. Well, I'm going to say, first of all, I would say that this is also an example from yesterday of us talking about quality curriculum and quality programs. And I think you guys have done a really cool job, and I think it's great. My question is, you have standard deviation increases, right? Mm-hmm. So that tells me that some students are doing really well and some are struggling in some cases, right? What's the follow-up then with the students that are in the struggle zone?
So as a reminder, this is a self-study that's part of a semester.
Right.
And so this is the second round of data that we've done. Historically, the students write more on the post-test than they, or pre-test than they do on the post-test.
Sure.
So it's usually in this particular module, it wasn't the final module that they do in this course. So I imagine it's a bit of content fatigue, but what I do appreciate is the vocabulary and the questions that they were asking. So even if you were more concise in what you were saying, are you saying the correct things? So one of my personal general hypotheses around training principles is, do you have to know the entire federal law? No. But if you're asking the right questions that are prompting this team in this discussion, even if you don't know the answer to that question, if you are prompting the correct things in that way, it's going to facilitate a discussion and a more legally compliant, but ultimately a more inclusive, equitable opportunity for that student that wouldn't have occurred otherwise. But I would imagine it's probably end of the semester, end of the module fatigue would be my hypothesis.
Sounds a bit like what we talked about yesterday, desirable difficulties. And with the struggle in that, you do retain more, learn more, and retain that knowledge. As you do with pre-testing, which your pre-assessment, I guess, fits that bill. So, very interesting. I have one curiosity. You presented last week in San Antonio. How was this received? Did you all come away with that feeling invigorated?
Yes, we had this was an international conference with mostly national attendees that were there. We had some great conversation. It was a paper presentation that was shared with another session. We had some questions towards the end about the research implementation. There was doc students that are doing similar efforts that they wanted to connect with as well. And I'm trying to remember other comments that we had at the end of
One professor came and sat in the middle.
She did. She did. Pulled up a chair right in the middle. So that's always a good sign. Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Other comments, questions from anyone? Well, thank you. That was a great presentation. Appreciate you being here today. Appreciate the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Mr. Provost, do you have anything else to bring before the committee? If not, Madam Chair, that concludes the business of the academic.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Great presentation. We have the Finance and Budget Committee next. Regent Boddy.
Thank you, Chair West.